simultaneously so hostile to the rich creativities on the continent that are full of potential for filmmaking, documentary making, writing, poetry, music, and yet that continues to remain in a marginalized space globally, that richness, that complexity, that diversity. And Yamame talked to you a little bit about her own trajectory within those. We are very, very honored to have her here. And the story of creating the film is one in which projects within the AGI were privileged to be part of what it meant to work in this particular space around this particular issue. You'll see what I mean by the issue when the film starts, for a number of years. So it's a personal, it's really deeply, personally, a joy to me to be standing here to welcome you into UCT. And I also want to say something about the space we're in. Some of you may know why we're in a room that's surrounded by all gowns, but others of you may not. And I think it's important to just explain that this is an installation that comes from what's called the Spring Queen Balls of the South African Garment and Textile Workers Union, which is one of the most powerful unions in the country. It's almost exclusively populated by women, women garment and textile workers. It has a very, very strong history nationally, but in the Western Cape is its main base. And anybody who's been living in the Western Cape for a while knows what's been happening to our factories, knows what's been happening to our garment industry, knows how the way in which those opportunities for employment and income and recognition of skill have slid down to desperation in the past years. And every year, a Spring Queen Ball is held at which the workers are participants. There are some other people who also interact with it. And you can see the uniforms, right? Look at the uniforms. Look at the way the uniforms are wrapped into the dresses. Of course, that's part of the installation, but if you've ever been to a union or a working space, or Pick n Pay has them too, you will realize that the interaction between the clothes you wear to celebrate your body, yourself, your sexuality, and the clothes you wear in a working space constitute different relationships to the politics of a certain intersection of race, class, gender, identity, and how you can get pulled from the ball queen to the uniform in the space of 24 hours probably has a lot to say to some of the issues we're going to be watching now, even though they're very far from the Western Cape and quite far from factories. So, Yamba, can I welcome you?
Son. decided to return to my father's house. My brothers accepted me, giving me a room. One day, it was threatening to rain. We all ran to fetch containers to collect rainwater. The next morning, all the containers were full except for mine. So I asked, "Where is my water?" My brother replied that I should ask his wife. So I asked, "Where is my water?" We started arguing. My brother came out and said that I shouldn't insult his wife, for if I insult her, I'm insulting him as well. He said I should get out of the house. The house belongs to all of us. It is our father's house, and it doesn't have the right to throw me out. My brother struck me. That very night, he died. His children claimed that I killed him with witchcraft, so they came after me with people from the largest houses in the village. They beat me until they thought that they killed me. Luckily, my senior son arrived and drove everyone away. But the next day, the villagers carried me across the river and dumped me on the other side, calling me a witch. I lay there for a full day and night before I felt strong enough to get up and walk to Gandaga.
She was at the point of death.
communities and are beholden to the chief. They're supported by men and women, such as Gladys Larrabar, who's worked at the witches' camp at Gambaka for years. She started off as a volunteer, but is now a member of a team initiated by the Presbyterian Church to help witches return home to their villages. She finds out what's going on at the camp through daily visits to Marhawa's compound. In her former life, Marhawa was a famous praise singer at local weddings and funerals. But just like most women here, she shared her husband with another wife, described as a rival.
Execute.
to Gambaga for protection at the mosque. The imam apparently made the woman swear on the Quran that she would behave herself. And if she didn't, it said that the Quran made sure that she got her comeuppance. Eventually, so many women were living in the mosque that the people and the chief of Gambaga built a camp for witches on the outskirts of the town. But when the next imam quarreled with the chief of Nelergu, the chief placed the witches under the authority of the chief of Gambaga, the Gambarana. They remain in the custody of his descendants to this day.
She's completely free of witchcraft by undergoing a final trial by ordeal.
chicken has died with his wings upturned, a sign that the gods have given Agrabah the go-ahead, and cleansed of witchcraft, she will soon be on her way home with the chief's blessing.
And we are working together so that if the living woman is going, the king will have to inform us, and after the chief has performed his rituals, we will have to take the woman back, and then as a judge, we will make follow-ups to ensure that the woman is living at the community peacefully.
Through Simon and Agrabah, the church has helped Agrabah and Alima's sons pay most of the fee demanded by the chief for the release of their mothers. Just as Alima and Agrabah are about to leave, Mahawa prays for their safe passage home.
Thank you.
Now that she's home, Agrabah faces daunting challenges. How is she going to adjust to her new life? Will her relatives really accept her? Or will she